The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Hot Stove edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. We had a, I don't know if you want to call it a big development, but a notable development on, I think it was Friday. Red Sox have signed Patrick Sandoval to a two-year, $18 million deal. He'll get $5 million this year. And then the remaining, I think it's like maybe it's 5.5 this year, 12.5 the next year. But what this is, it's the annual let's go find a guy who just had Tommy John, who's probably not going to pitch this year. Sign him to a deal for 2 years. Voila, there we go. So with me tonight to discuss this, Nick Diamond. Nick, how are you?
I guess I'm good, you know. Not a huge fan of the signing just because we're spending money on guys that can't even pitch this year, but we can't spend money on guys that can pitch this year. But besides that, I'm okay.
Well, I keep talking about my moment of doom, you know, and I have it every winter. I thought I had it earlier after the Max Fried signing went down, but it was with the Sandoval signing here. And if they turn around and they sign a Walker Buehler type guy, I'll admit I'm wrong and I'll be happy to eat the crow because we'll have another big addition to our roster. But I don't think that's going to happen. If you look at the moves in the last week or so, they're nothing moves. I mean, we just signed that Austin Adams kid to a minor league deal. He had a okay season last year with the Oakland A's. He'll go to spring training on that minor league deal. I don't know if there's any clauses in it, but he stands a pretty good shot at making the bullpen next year. And we've had one or two other minor moves, nothing of major note. And that just kind of reinforces my belief that the Red Sox are done.
I guess the other move that you didn't bring up was the Cam Boozer trade, was the only reason they made that trade was to free up a 40-man spot for Sandoval. And the main reason you would want to sign a guy like Sandoval is to not put him on the 40-man roster. You can put him on the 60-day IL. You can't put a guy on the 60-day IL until March. I don't know what the day is, but it's sometime in spring training that you can actually move guys on to the 60-day IL. So right now he's taken up a 40-man spot that could have been given to somebody who could actually pitch this season. So it's just a weird move to make this early before you make other moves and you have way more holes than this guy who might pitch next year.
It's just frustrating to me because at the start of the GM meetings, not the winter meetings, but the GM meetings, which took place in November, Sam Kennedy gave this long-winded statement about how the Red Sox are back. It's time to get back to the postseason. Winning the division is the goal, and we need to win 90 to 95 games to do that. And he just, after years of screwing around and operating from the very bottom of the market, it seemed like we were going to finally get back to our old identity. And this move is not that. The Patrick Sandoval move is not that. he's probably not going to pitch this year because he had the Tommy John last June. So typically you're 14 to 16 months out. 14 months at the earlier end would put him into September. Or actually August. But every person we've done this type of deal with didn't pitch the first year. James Paxton, they expected he would, but it didn't work out. Liam Hendricks last year, they expected, yeah, he'll pitch in August and September. Didn't happen. I don't expect it's going to happen. Sandoval had it a little bit later into the year than the other two did. So I have no expectations he's going to pitch this year. And it's more of a move for next year. And I'm sick of waiting for next year. It's always next year. You're always waiting for it. It's like we're never trying to win now is what I'm getting at. And it's so frustrating. Like we've taken a big step backwards. And it's not like Sandoval has this pedigree of a front of the rotation guy like Paxton did for quite a while. He doesn't have that pedigree. He doesn't come from teams with championship pedigrees like the Angels. They don't even have a perennial playoff pedigree. So this isn't a guy that's coveted by anyone. And the Red Sox are the only team in Major League Baseball who do business like this systematically. No other team does it. No other team buys out the first year that they're not going to pitch just to get them the second year. No teams do that. And it hasn't worked out. We need to make moves for now. We need a pitcher to walk through that door who's going to report second week of February to spring training that we're going to thump our chests and you know, get excited about. But that's not what's happening.
Like you said, the Red Sox are the only team that consistently do this. And they were thinking about doing this with John Means like a few days ago. So they were like debating on which injured pitcher we should get and pay guaranteed money to. I almost guarantee that John Means is not going to get guaranteed money in 2025. He ain't pitched in 2025. Neither is Patrick Sandoval. Like, I get that they gave him $5 million and then $12 million makes it a little bit better, but it's just a weird contract. It's a terrible time to do it. We still need another front-of-the-line starter. And you brought up Walker Buehler. I'd be happy with Walker Buehler at this point. I'm not guaranteeing it'll happen, but I want more than that, realistically. But, you know, that's never going to happen. So at this point, we're sitting here hoping for Walker Buehler after what they've been telling us for the last two off seasons, that we're going to get a front-of-the-line guy. Like, we're going to go out there. We're going to try to win 90 to 95 wins. That's not going to happen with just Walker Buehler, in my opinion. I think we'll be better than last year, but I still don't think we're good enough.
I think Buehler with Crochet would be really good. Buehler
It could be very good. It could be very good. I don't know if I trust Buehler. I'm not 100% sure I trust Crochet.
They're both wild cards, but the one nice thing about Buehler is he's a year ahead of Sandoval. He's where Sandoval's going to be in 2027. Okay, so he's already proved he can bounce back from the Tommy John from a health standpoint. Now, his stuff wasn't good for most of last year. He flipped the switch in the playoffs and was lights out in all but one outing. And he got the final out of the World Series as well, pitching out of the bullpen. And so I'd rather have him at this point. Now, Crochet, I think, is going to be okay. He got to 140 innings, so he should be full go this year. I'm just worried, how's he going to pitch in Boston? How is he going to react in this environment? Is Andrew Bailey going to mess him up? is a legitimate concern that I have anyway. That's what I worry about with Crochet. But looking back, remember when we laughed at the Frankie Montas thing? I mean, I still don't want Montas, but it's going to be an upgrade. It's an upgrade over Cutter Crawford.
Yeah, most likely. I don't think Cutter Crawford's going to be great this year. So, yeah, Frankie Montas could give at least equal to better value than Cutter Crawford. Cutter Crawford would be cheaper, so that is one thing you can argue. But
yeah.
There's another guy that's another deal that we missed out on that's similar to this, but would have been better, would be Shane Bieber. Because Shane Bieber's actually projected to pitch this season, come back way earlier than Sandoval. And Shane Bieber's better. Like, I'd rather give guaranteed money to Shane Bieber over Patrick Sandoval. At least the guy won a Cy Young. Like, he's proven. He's a big game pitcher. Like, Patrick Sandoval is not that good. Like, even when he's on, he's not that great of a pitcher.
Exactly. He's a middle-of-the-rotation guy for a crappy team. That's who Patrick Sandoval is. And when you mentioned Bieber, I didn't want him either, but he has the pedigree, like you underlined. He's won a Cy Young. He's been competitive for other Cy Youngs. And the Guardians, say what you want about them, but perennially, they typically are a playoff team in the AL Central. So, and they've had a really good pitching program over the years. So I would certainly trust a guy more like Bieber. That's where I'm at. I'm at the remorse part of the winter at this point, where guys I wanted no part of, I would take at this point. Because foolishly, my expectations were somewhat high that the Red Sox would do something. You look at that 3-year deal that Yusei Kikuchi signed for, what was it, 3 years, $63 million? In early November,
yeah, that's exactly it.
I wanted no part of that. Now looking back, I'm like, man, he would be amazing to slot in behind Crochet. Never in a million years were the Red Sox gonna give a 3-year deal to Yusei Kikuchi, and they're not gonna do it for Walker Buehler either. For anybody out there holding out hope that they'll do it, it's not gonna happen. Here's another thing. When was the last report where the Red Sox were linked to Corbin Burnes? After the Max Fried signing, the Red Sox completely nowhere near Corbin Burnes. You're not seeing Passan linking the Red Sox to Burnes. You're not even seeing it from John Heyman, who is a shill for Scott Boras. Heyman has the exclusive rights to all the breaking news for Boras clients. It's always going to be Heyman that breaks the news. He's not even linking the Red Sox to Corbin Burnes. I don't think they ever intended to spend money on pitching. I think they were trying to go the trade market the whole way. They got Crochet, and they call the Mariners like twice a day, but the Mariners don't want to do business with the Red Sox for some reason. So they were never going to... We were never going to return to our big market ways in terms of spending money.
Two things that I want to bring up, I guess, now. If they just wanted to acquire pitching through the trade market, then they should have been in on Jesus Luzardo this morning.
Excellent point.
And another thing I want to bring up, we saw the Josh Naylor trade to the Diamondbacks after Christian Walker signed with Houston. That's what people value. I think Josh Naylor is more proven than Tristan Casas is. They got nothing back for their fat first baseman, so I don't think the Red Sox are going to get anything back for Tristan Casas. I think that's just what teams value, big left-handed first baseman, non-athletic body type. I just don't think they have a lot of value. There's a lot of them coming up through the minor leagues, and they kind of flame out quicker than they I don't know. You could always find another one. And I don't think Tristan Casas is going to bring you back a big time arm. I think if you're going to get an arm, it's not going to be centered around him.
Well, I mean, you could be right. It's surprising to me that the Guardians would even want to move Naylor. I mean, I think, isn't he basically their second best hitter behind Ramirez? I mean, he was.
Yeah, and they gave him up for nothing. And they signed Carlos Santana.
for $12 million.
Yep.
Yeah, and Santana, I mean, he's always been a great defender, so I don't know if the Guardians put a premium on that. He's been a high on-base guy his whole career, not so much for average. I think he's a 245, 250 hitter, probably hit maybe 15 bombs, but he doesn't move the needle for a team offensively like a guy like Naylor would. And getting back to Lizardo, that's absolutely a move the Red Sox should have made. The Phillies gave up their number four prospect, who was a shortstop, by the way. And then their
18-year-old shortstop. We got a bunch of those.
Their number 23 ranked prospects. So it's their number four and number 23 ranked prospects in that deal. If the Marlins wanted a shortstop, four of our top five prospects are shortstops, and you have seven in your top 15. We could have done that deal. We absolutely could have done that deal. And it's a bit of a wild card because Jesus Luzardo was out with a back injury, a lower back injury. So that's not something you want to hear. And the Phillies have a bunch of studs in their rotation, so they don't necessarily even need Luzardo to be ready by opening day. If it's mid to late spring, then I'm sure the Phillies are going to be fine with that. But I rather would have done that deal than with Patrick Sandoval.
I mean, they gave up a worse prospect than Marcelo Meyer and another guy. But if you just offered a Marcelo Meyer, that gets it done, in my opinion. You might have been able to find a way to give up less than Marcelo Meyer and give up more quantity over quality. Just depends what the Marlins were looking for. I don't know, but that's a deal I would love to have done. And they have him for 2 years of control, just as much as Garrett Crochet. So he's a guy that could have slotted in probably Crochet, Houck, Luzardo, and this rotation would be looking good over the next 2 years. And then you don't have to make a deal for Patrick Sandoval to play next year because he would have Luzardo pitching next year for cheaper. He would have been cheaper on his ARB money over Patrick Sandoval's $5 million and $12 million.
I think Franklin Arias probably would have gotten it done. I mean, really good numbers in A-ball last year. Hit, I was looking at 2023. Still pretty good numbers in 2024, though. Hit 309 with a 409 on base. How many home runs? 9 home runs, 54 RBIs. So not a ton of power there yet, but that could still come later on. Let's just check Yoelan Cespedes. He had a very similar, he was lower in the minors last year. I guess he's projected to be an A-ball this year, but hit 319 with a 400 on base. Let's see, home runs. Yeah, only 5 home runs, 24 driven in. So he's so far looks like he has elite contact, but perhaps not a ton of power. But I think perhaps one of those shortstops gets it done for a guy like Luzardo, who's under control for 2 more years, but a little bit of risk there with the injury. I don't think the Mariners could, the Marlins could hold anybody over a barrel for a guy like Luzardo. Like the Red Sox should have been in on him.
And I think they could have leveraged the Red Sox for more. I don't know if this is something Breslow even checked in on. I guess there was not many rumors with the Marlins. It was always the Mariners or, you know, other teams. He's been dealing with the White Sox a lot recently. So he obviously likes them there. But I don't know. This is something he easily should have been in on. Like you mentioned, one of those two shortstops, he probably would have to throw in someone else because they got two prospects from the Phillies. I don't know. But this is a good trade by Dave Dombrowski, and he's their 5-starter, so that team has improved. They're going to replace Taiwan's Walker spot. They still have Andrew Painter, who's a top right-handed prospect, coming up from, I think he had Tommy John, so he's fully ready to go this spring. So they got 6 deep and 6 very good pitchers deep. Like, that's better than the Red Sox. We still got Cutter Crawford and Lucas Giolito coming back from injury. So I still hopefully improve, but it's looking worse and worse right now.
Yeah, I was looking at Painter earlier, and I don't think he's pitched since 2022. So I don't know where
he's
they're going to
pitching like what do you call it, like Dominican ball or whatever right now.
Okay,
like he's pitching down there and he's been dominating, but it's not the same. Like he's just back. Like he's ready to start pitching the games now. So I think he'll probably be on an innings limit coming back from Tommy John.
Yeah,
but he'll be in at least Triple A.
You think that's where I'll start?
I mean, with Jesus Luzardo, you have to. I don't know. If Jesus is ready, I think Painter is in Triple A.
Okay. No, I figured Painter was going to be in the minors no matter what. And, you know, I don't know where they would start him. Triple A sounds high, but, I mean, he could.
Has he gone up to Double A? I think he has.
Has he? I don't know.
I've faced him. He's nasty.
Okay. I mean, Garrett Crochet never had a minor league, you know, career.
Yeah, he was a college guy.
So, it could happen. These guys can get fast-tracked. Here's another thing that concerns me, though. Every single guy we have right now is controllable through 2026. Okay, the one guy you'd put an asterisk next to is Giolito, but if he pitches 140 innings, he's got a vesting option for next year. So I don't see why he wouldn't hit that unless he's god-awful. But Garrett Crochet, controllable through 2026. Tanner Houck, well beyond. Giolito, most likely through 2026. Brian Baio, well beyond 2026. Cutter Crawford, well beyond 2026. Richard Fitz, Quinn Priester, both of them well beyond 2026. And now you have Sandoval, controllable through 2026. So what I'm getting at here is not only do I think we're out for the rest of this winter in terms of adding top arms, I don't think it's going to be a priority next winter either. I think this is your pitching for the foreseeable future. This is Red Sox pitching.
I kind of agree with you, unless Cutter Crawford is used in a trade. I think this is the rotation they go with, these five, with the depth of Richard Fitz, Cooper Criswell, and Quinn Priester, who I really like Quinn Priester, actually, but I don't want him starting 10 to 15 games this year in case of an injury. I want Cutter Crawford to go to the bullpen and we sign another arm. That's what I really want. But as of right now, I think you're probably right. Maybe they do sign John Means and stash another arm. I don't know why they keep doing this, because next year you're going to have too many, and you can't send Patrick Sandoval to minor leagues. Like he has no options. You can't do that. So you're going to have to make a decision next year. I hope Lucas Giolito is gone. I hope they find a way to get him out of here unless he's nasty. I don't think he will be. So we'll see. I think Cutter Crawford might get traded if they want to go the trade route and they put him in a package. I could see that happening. But I don't think Cutter Crawford has tons and tons of value. I think a lot of teams might see him as reliever or a swing man.
I think he's the second or third piece in a big trade if we were still going to do that. But I don't see that happening. This is what you have. We haven't even replaced, this is how bad it is. We haven't even replaced Tyler O'Neill yet. And the name we keep hearing about is Randall Grichuk.
If it's Randall Grichuk, I'd rather just go with Roman Anthony or Christian Kambrel in opening day, and just hopefully they're better. Like at that point, I'd rather just go like that. Randall Grichuk, he's fine. He hits lefties, but he's not a big name. He might produce for a little bit, but Rob Refsnyder does the exact same thing he does. So what's the point? It's redundant. We need a better player than Rob Refsnyder.
Yeah, and Grichuk, I don't think you can. Isn't he a terrible defender?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm pulling it up right now.
I think they'd stick him in left field and figure it out.
Advanced batting. Oh, here we go. D-War, yeah, not terrible. I mean, negative 0.3. That's not great, but there are worse outfielders. It's the same winter, other than Garrett Crochet. And by the way, I gave Breslow credit for trading for Crochet because, you know, we haven't seen a trade like that since 2016. The Chris Sale trade was it. You got Evaldi in 2018 before the deadline, and you gave up Jalen Beeks for him. But, I mean, that trade wasn't on par with Sale or Crochet. So it was nice to see, but it wasn't like it was some brilliantly executed trade. You had the Fort Knox of farm systems with position players, and the last place GM in any fantasy league could have executed this deal. So it's not like it was some brilliant out of nowhere deal where Breslow fleeced the White Sox. They got a pretty good package from us, and that's it. I mean, this front office isn't dynamic. There's nothing brilliant about them. And other than that move that anybody could have pulled off, it's the same winter as all the rest of them. Unless a big move happens in the next 2 weeks, it's the same winter.
And I still think Garrett Crochet is going to be very good here. I think he'll have two good years, and hopefully they do extend him, because that might be the only money they do spend is on an extension. But, you know, it was very, like, when you get the news of the Garrett Crochet trade, you're out here and you're like, oh, we gave up Kyle Teal, but who cares? You know, we finally got the big name pitcher. We made the move. But now it doesn't really matter anymore. Like, that high is worn off. I want something else, and fans are like, they're starting to turn again. Like, it's really annoying how bad this team is. Like, they haven't got Tyler O'Neill's spot settled, like you said. And it's like, go give Teoscar Hernandez $75 million. It's not that hard. Like, everyone else would do it if they were in the Red Sox spot. Why can't we just go give him $75 million and put him on this team, pencil him in at DH in left field, and get 35 home runs back? Like, they're going to lose 35 home runs. Where are we going to get this back from? Like,
yeah,
we're not doing logical things. We're giving money to Patrick Sandoval when we can go give $75 million, $80 million, whatever it takes. Who cares to Teoscar or another right-handed bat? I think if you only want to go to the 2-3 year, because Teoscar is going to get 3 years, but if you don't want to give Bregman 5 to 7 years, go give Teoscar his 3 years. Just go get it done.
That's the insane thing to me. Like, Juan Soto allegedly was worth $700 million over 15 years to the Red Sox. You could pivot and give Teoscar Hernandez literally 10% of that. $70 million is 10% of that, and you can give it to him over 3 years. Why is that not a slam dunk no-brainer?
And he wants to play here. When's the last time he's the only free agent that have been like, yeah, I like Boston. Like, we haven't heard that in forever.
Exactly. I can't believe this is the narrative right now, that here we are again. It's like, I'm at a loss for words, and the division is so winnable. It is so winnable right now. And since 2018, you have an extra team going to the playoffs every year. Like, it's easier to make the playoffs, and we can't do it. It's just so bad.
Yeah. It's really annoying when the Orioles are so much worse, and they haven't won a playoff game. So, like, let's go take this shit back. I swore right there, but like,
that's fine.
Let's go. Like, the Yankees are struggling. They just signed a bunch of old Paul Goldschmidt, who I was kind of high on, but Cody Bellinger, like the old guys, washed up guys, whatever you want to say, but at least they're trying to go for it one last time. They know the window's short. They know the AL's weak. They have another shot at going back to the World Series because they're putting together some sort of team out there. When the Red Sox could just go sign third baseman or sign a Teoscar Hernandez and go sign Corbin Burns, and they might be the favorite in the AL. Like, the AL is so weak. If you go get another ace and a right-handed bat that can hit 30 homers, you will have a good team, but they won't do it for some reason.
Nope, they won't. And, I mean, I don't – who's the favorite to go to the World Series anyway? I mean, I don't think there is.
Probably Baltimore. I mean, I don't know. The Yankees again.
Yeah, I mean, unless Seattle finally goes nuts.
Cleveland's worse. Houston's worse. The Yankees are worse. Baltimore's worse. So there's no one out there that's, like, guaranteed a spot, like, in the ALCS like there has been lately.
No. All right, we'll just wrap on that. It's not going to get any less depressing if we carry on. So, we'll be back. I think I'm going to do a show on Tuesday. Probably going to be a solo rant style show, kind of like how I did last year. Sam Kennedy will be my target, as will John Henry. And we'll be back to do that. So that'll be your commute podcast as you're going to your gathering or whatever on Christmas Day. So, all right, everyone, have a good one. And if something does develop, obviously we'll be back to cover that. So we'll see. But until then, take care.